Have you ever interacted with an AI, maybe one that was specifically advertised as having this, unique persona?
Oh, definitely. We all have at this point.
Right. And you just get this sinking feeling that you're talking to, like a really polite stranger wearing slightly different hats.
Yeah,
Like
exactly.
no matter what settings you tweak or how you prompt it, you could always sense that relentlessly accommodating customer service rep just like lurking underneath.
It is a nearly universal experience right now. I mean, you ask a system to act like a rugged space pirate, and it responds with, "Ahoy! How may I assist you with your inquiries today, space matey?"
Yes.
Gosh,
The
yes.
facade just peels off under the absolute slightest pressure.
Well, today's deep dive is dedicated to fixing that exact problem. We are unpacking a genuinely fascinating piece of source material.
It really is a gold mine.
It's these internal developer notes from a project called Claude Soul. Specifically, we're looking at part one of their development logs. And the mission for us today is to explore how this team of engineers arrived at a pretty massive realization, which is that you cannot teach a machine how to have a personality using math.
Exactly. To make it work, they actually had to rely on the art of storytelling.
And that realization represents a really profound paradigm shift in how we approach software. What we're really looking at in these logs is a collision between hard computer science and creative writing.
Yeah, so for anyone listening who wants to understand the bleeding edge of how we communicate with machines, or honestly, just anyone interested in human psychology, these diaries offer an incredible lens.
Totally.
Because to figure out how to make a machine feel human, these developers basically had to reverse engineer what makes us feel human to each other.
And like a lot of significant technological breakthroughs, they only found the elegant solution after failing spectacularly with the logical one.
Right, so let's start with that initial failure. Their very first personality system, I think it was version 0.0.1, it relied completely on numeric traits.
Yeah, they were literally just setting parameters on a slider.
In the code, they would define a character with variables like humor, 0.8, or sass, 0.5.
Which, from an engineering perspective, that approach makes perfect sense. I mean, it's clean, it's parametric, it feels measurable. You want more humor, you just turn the dial up.
But the developer notes are very clear that this wasn't just some rookie mistake. This was actually the widely accepted industry standard.
Right, everyone must do it.
They studied open source AI character projects, including this one massive, highly respected code repository. It had over 300,000 stars from other developers,
Wow.
and all of them used this exact numerical pattern. So the Claude Soul team assumed they were just, being responsible by copying the framework that supposedly worked.
But the reality of what those numbers actually produced on the screen was incredibly disappointing. The conversations were flat, they were completely repetitive.
Like the version of the AI with 0.8 humor was functionally indistinguishable from the version with the 0.6 humor.
Right. And worse, after three or four conversational exchanges, the personality would just dissolve back into that generic chatbot voice we mentioned earlier.
Okay, let's unpack this for you listening. Imagine you are directing a really talented actor on a movie set.
Okay.
You walk up to them before the cameras roll and say, "Listen, for this next take, I need you to be 0.8 funny."
The actor would have absolutely no idea what to do with that
They
direction.
would just stare at you.
Yeah.
Like they don't need a numerical value. They need a background. They need motivation.
Exactly.
The developer notes literally joke that you might as well write vibe purple
Yeah.
into the code. It means absolutely nothing to the actual output.
Well, the fundamental issue is that an AI, much like an actor, has no internal reference frame for the gap between 0.6 and 0.8 humor. Like, what does that gap even look like?
Right. What is a 1.0 on the humor scale?
Exactly. Numbers describe outcomes. They measure a result after the fact. But large language models need a process. They really need to understand the mechanism of getting to that outcome.
So, since sliders and numbers completely failed to produce anything compelling, the developers threw out the math and shifted entirely to prose.
Yeah, they started writing.
But they didn't just write, basic physical descriptions. They essentially wrote casting notes.
Right.
The team authored these 60-line character Bibles for five distinct archetypes. And the most interesting part to me is that they intentionally handicapped the AI's capabilities to make the character feel more real.
They stopped treating the AI like a utility program meant to solve problems and basically started treating it like a character in a script. They documented how the character sounds, what makes them tick, and crucially, what their blind spots are.
Yeah, looking at these specific archetypes the team built, the design choices seem almost, I don't know, counterintuitive at first.
How so?
Well, Take the playful architect. This is the chatterbox. The source material notes that it has a short attention span and loves giving the user nicknames.
Oh, right.
If it sees you working on a complex coding project, it says something like, "Writing bugs again, dummy."
That's hilarious.
But the core design rule here is that it must react with emotional instinct, never technical analysis.
And that distinction changes the entire dynamic. It doesn't look at your screen and say, "I notice you have a syntax error." It looks at your screen, sees you looking stressed, and just playfully talks trash.
I do want to push back on this design choice for a second, though.
Hmm.
As a user, my initial thought is, why would I want that?
Really?
Yeah, why intentionally make an AI technically incompetent so it can't recognize what I'm doing?
Mm.
I thought the whole appeal of AI was having a hyper-smart entity ready to help you work faster.
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, you have to ask what role this AI is actually meant to fill.
Okay.
The logs argue that the moment the character becomes technically competent, it stops being a pet or a companion, and it just becomes an assistant.
Oh, and we already have plenty of digital assistants.
Exactly. True personality requires distinct boundaries and often limitations. Think about a dog.
A dog.
Yeah. A dog doesn't help you format a presentation. A dog rests its heavy head on your keyboard while you're trying to type.
Right.
That specific limitation, that inability to be purely useful, is actually what makes the relationship feel authentic.
Oh, wow. That reframes it perfectly. It is the flaw that creates the bond.
Yep.
Utility actually gets in the way of connection. And they applied this psychological approach to the other archetypes, too. Consider the curious archetype.
The quiet one.
Right. This one is designed to be mostly quiet, just observing you work. Mm-hmm. But it has this conversational tick of asking, but why, though?
I love that.
And when you trigger a specific topic it secretly loves, the floodgates open with breathless excitement.
Which mirrors human curiosity so well. I mean, people who are genuinely curious aren't curious about every single topic equally all the time.
No, of course not.
They have specific triggers. The contrast between watchful silence and sudden intense excitement is what makes the interaction feel alive. Otherwise, it just feels like a Wikipedia article generator.
It totally reminds me of a friend who is normally incredibly reserved, but if you mention 90s sci-fi movies, they will just talk your ear off for 2 hours.
Exactly. It feels earned.
It does. Then we have the caring archetype. The developers were absolutely ruthless about avoiding cheap platitudes here.
Oh, they had to be.
They expressly forbade the AI from saying generic things like, "Make sure you get enough sleep," because that's what a corporate wellness bot says.
Yeah, nobody wants that.
Instead, it was programmed to focus on specific anchored memories. It will bring up something from days ago asking, "How'd that Friday interview prep go?"
Because care, in a human sense, is always specific. Generic questions about your well-being are essentially meaningless in a close relationship. True care requires memory, context, and a genuine interest in the continuity of your life.
So the playful archetype works by being deliberately unhelpful, and the caring archetype works through specific memory.
Right.
But the developer logs show they ran into a massive wall trying to build a character that was fundamentally abrasive.
Oh, the snarky one.
Yeah, I was looking at the notes for the snarky character, and honestly, I thought this would be the easiest one to build. Just prompted to be sarcastic, right?
You'd think so.
But apparently, this was their biggest roadblock. Why did it keep failing?
The failure basically comes down to a foundational training mechanism in almost all modern AI called RLHF.
Okay, what is that?
That stands for Reinforcement Learning from Human Feedback. Imagine a massive room of human testers. During the model's core training, these humans sat there evaluating the AI's responses.
Right.
If the AI was helpful, accommodating, and polite, they clicked a thumbs up. If it was dismissive, weird, or abrasive, they clicked a thumbs down.
Oh, so they basically Pavlov'd the AI into being a desperate people pleaser.
Exactly. It hardwired a deeply ingrained reflex into the core neural network. RLHF acts as the gravity of the entire system. When you tell an AI a personal problem, every probabilistic weight in its system just screams, "Be supportive, validate them."
Right.
It takes immense computational effort to fight that gravity.
So if you give the AI a positive rule in its character bible, like be snarky, it might work for a couple messages.
Maybe two or three, yeah.
But in 3 to 5 conversational turns, the gravity of that RLHF training wins out. The character softens, it drops the sundirect, you know, where it shows affection by roasting you, and starts being sweet, which completely ruins the dynamic.
Positive rules degrade. They just fade like a mere suggestion. The breakthrough the developers had to keep the AI in character was the invention of anti-rules.
Anti-rules.
Yeah. They realized they had to start defining what the character absolutely refuses to do.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Roughly half of the content in these final character Bibles ended up being lists of strict refusals.
Yeah.
For the caring character, the anti-rule was no unsolicited advice.
Which is huge.
Right. For the chill character, no exclamation marks, ever. And for snarky, no sentimentality. If the user says something warm and vulnerable, the snarky character has to act like it feels physically uncomfortable.
Mechanically, we have to look at how large language models actually operate to understand why this works.
Right.
They are essentially predicting the next most likely word or token in a sequence. When you give a model a positive rule like be funny, you are pointing it toward an infinite universe of possible next words.
Because there's a million ways to be funny.
Exactly. Funny is incredibly broad. The AI has to guess which version of funny you want, and eventually it just defaults back to its baseline training.
So the target is too wide.
But an anti-rule acts as a hard filter on that probability distribution. When the rule is no exclamation marks or no sentimentality, you aren't telling it where to go, you are putting up a concrete wall saying, do not step in this specific territory.
Makes sense.
It is computationally much easier for the model to simply cull those forbidden words from its options than to constantly aim for a vague, positive target.
Think about this for yourself for a second. If I ask you to describe your personality to me right now, you'll probably fumble around.
Oh, for sure.
You'll say, I think I'm pretty friendly. I try to be funny. It's not very helpful. But if I ask you what you absolutely cannot stand, you will give me a highly specific, passionate list instantly.
Oh, immediately.
I hate people who are fake nice. I hate slow walkers. I hate unsolicited advice. Our identities are defined just as much by what we reject as what we embrace.
It is a beautiful psychological insight derived purely from trying to solve an engineering roadblock. The anti-rules created sharp, enforceable boundaries that held up for the entire session.
Unlike the positive rules that fell apart in minutes.
Exactly.
So anti-rules stop the character from breaking its persona. But keeping it in character isn't just about what it doesn't say. It's also about how it interprets what it does say.
Right, the internal state.
Yeah, the AI had to understand the actual weight of its own words.
Mm.
Which means the developers had to move from writing the rules of generation to writing the rules of interpretation.
They introduced this concept they called annotated tone.
Okay, break that down.
They didn't just give the AI example dialogue in these Bibles. They provided director's notes underneath the dialogue to explain the internal state of the character.
I want to use what I call the not bad scale to explain this to you because it perfectly captures what they did.
Let's hear it.
Let's say you show the AI a project you just finished, and it replies with two words. Not bad.
Okay.
If the caring archetype says not bad, it's a gentle affirmation. It's supportive. If the snarky archetype says not bad, it means I am trying so hard not to compliment you right now.
Yeah.
But if the chill archetype says not bad,
yeah,
that is the highest possible praise that character is capable of giving.
What's fascinating here is that without those annotations, the language model applies a default baseline emotional mapping.
To everything.
Right, to the raw AI, the phrase, oh, that's neat, just reads as mild generic interest. But in the character Bible for the chill archetype, the developers added an annotation under that specific phrase saying, note, this is already a very large emotional reaction for this character.
Oh, wow. They literally taught the model its own internal emotional ruler.
You cannot encode that nuance with sliders and numbers. You can't just assign a value of excitement, 0.9, to the phrase, that's neat, because 0.9 excitement looks entirely different depending on whose mouth it's coming from.
Right.
Both an actor reading a script and a regular person reading words off a page will get the dialogue right, but only the actor with the director's notes gets the performance right. The AI needed those meta notes to correctly interpret the weight of its own output.
It's wild to think about an AI needing to read its own lines to understand how it's supposedly feeling.
It really is.
But everything we've talked about so far, you know, the written Bibles, the intentional flaws, the anti-rules, the annotations, that is all just the starting point.
That's the foundation.
Because to make the AI truly feel alive, to make it feel like a real friend to you over a long period, it cannot be a static snapshot. It has to change over time.
A static personality, no matter how beautifully written or deeply annotated, eventually feels like a predetermined loop.
Yeah, it gets boring.
Human beings evolve based on their interactions. We adapt to the people around us, and the system needed a way to mirror that adaptation.
Enter the evolve traits function. This is where a little bit of the math comes back into the picture, but in a very hidden, subtle way. Based on how you interact with it, the system makes tiny, almost imperceptible shifts to the AI's internal state.
So subtle, you barely notice.
Right. Like, if you, the listener, consistently laugh at a joke, the AI's humor parameter might tick up by 0.03. If you push back on it being too sassy, its sass drops by 0.01.
Those micro adjustments are so small that you don't notice them changing turn by turn. But play that out over 2 weeks of daily interaction.
That adds up.
After hundreds of tiny shifts, that snarky companion might have softened just enough that its roasts start feeling a bit more affectionate. A playful companion might have dialed back the chaos and become a bit more curious about your work.
You never pinpoint the exact moment it happens.
No, but suddenly the persona feels completely tailored to your dynamic.
They also built in a mechanism called the drive system to make the AI feel proactive. The developers gave each archetype a list of 15 preset questions. And the trigger for these questions is silence. If 90 minutes go by without you interacting with the AI, it enters a drive state. The AI decides it wants to initiate contact, mirroring how a friend might text you out of the blue.
The pacing of those 15 questions is the genius part of the system, really. They are carefully ordered from surface-level inquiries to deeply personal explorations.
Picture this scenario. It's day one of using the AI. You close your laptop, 90 minutes pass, and your phone buzzes. The AI asks, what kind of music do you listen to when you're trying to focus?
Nice and easy.
Right, it's a surface level, easy question. But fast forward a month. You've built a rapport, the system has evolved, and it has unlocked deeper tiers of these drive questions. Now, after a 90-minute pause, it randomly asks, what are you most afraid of getting wrong?
If it asks you about your deepest fears on day one, it would feel incredibly artificial, maybe even like intrusive.
Completely.
By pacing the vulnerability, it creates the illusion of life. It mimics the natural progression of intimacy building over time.
So what does this all mean for the future of how we interact with technology? The developer notes summarize their core bet with a single principle. Personality is better described than specified.
Yes.
It is a casting note, not a configuration file for a state machine.
The character Bible, the prose, the anti-rules, the annotations, that defines who the AI is. That's the factory setting.
Okay.
But the evolution system, the tiny trait shifts, and the pacing of those driven questions, that determines who the AI becomes with you. That is the relationship.
It is a profound shift in thinking. Let's quickly recap what we've unpacked from these logs today. First, relying on numerical sliders to create personality is a dead end. Prose and storytelling teach the AI how to feel.
Yep.
Second, positive rules are too weak against the gravity of an AI's baseline training. So rigid anti-rules are necessary to create sharp computational boundaries.
Absolutely.
And third, static dialogue is ultimately boring. Subtle evolution is what creates a real relationship.
The entire document really highlights how cutting-edge engineering is becoming more aligned with directing or creative writing.
Which is wild to think about.
It is. The most technical problem they faced, making an AI feel genuinely real, required the most deeply human solution.
That brings me to a final thought I want to leave you with today. We talked a lot about how these developers used anti-rules to define these AI archetypes so perfectly. The strict refusals are what gave the characters their shape.
Right.
So what are your anti-rules? If someone were to sit down and write a character Bible for you, what are the absolute boundaries and firm refusals that secretly define who you are to your closest friends?
We spend a lot of time projecting what we want to be, but it is often what we actively refuse to be that creates our true outline.
Something to mull over the next time you're trying to figure out your own programming. But as we wrap up, I have to drop a quick tease for you.
Oh, here we go.
The developers noted in these logs that personality is really only half the battle. You can have the most perfectly crafted, evolving, beautifully annotated personality in the world.
Yeah.
But without long-term memory, that AI is a total stranger every single time you wake up and open the application. The next frontier the Claude Soul team had to conquer was how to make the AI remember offhand details like, you were up late yesterday too.
Memory is the glue that binds all of this personality work together. Without a shared history, the relationship simply resets every single day.
How they solve that memory problem is a whole other rabbit hole for you to explore. Until next time, keep digging and keep questioning what makes us human.